Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning, Wayne. We'll see you right here at this desk in about 2 hours, as always, on Fridays for Wayne's World. Can't wait. But right now, it is time to skip the BS. Time for Undisputed. Time to talk about, story of the night. Caitlin Clark breaking the women's college basketball career scoring record in a sensationally fitting way with a crossover pull-up hand-in-face three from the Hawkeye logo. Caitlin wound up with a career-high 49 points, not to mention, check this out, 13 assists. It's hard to score 49 points with 13 assists, meaning she had a hand in 75% of Iowa's points in a 106-89 rout of a pretty good Michigan team that came into the game 16-10. Here are just some of the luminaries who immediately tweeted or posted congratulations to Caitlin. Barack Obama, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Brittany Griner, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Maya Moore, Billie Jean King, and of course, Caitlin's rival at LSU, Angel Reese, who tweeted, keep breaking records and making her story, not history, her story. Love that. I've long been a fan of Caitlin Clark's game and her mentality. Damian Lillard calls her a basketball quote-unquote killer. Fox's legendary play-by-play announcer Gus Johnson says, to see her play in person, the only thing I can equate it to is when Jordan would come to town. And by the way, on Fox, she just keeps breaking our record for women's college basketball games, ratings records. So, Michael Irvin, you have 3 Super Bowl rings. You're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You have been around a whole lot of greatness in your time. Your reaction to Caitlin Clark's achievement and to her game?
Well, and watching her. And last night, let's be clear. She was very directive. She knew what she had to do. Skip went right down and got it. You know, quick layup, came right back and hit the three.
Hit it three.
Now, what's amazing is she says, y'all knew I was going to hit that logo three, for the record. Now, I want you to know how crazy that is.
It's pretty
when
crazy.
I think about it.
Yeah.
We got Caitlin Clark's talking about a logo three like it's a layup. Mm. Like it's a layup.
Yeah.
Skip, I remember going to basketball games when I was in high school. You know, we played basketball.
Well, you were a good player.
Right, yeah, we played basketball. Yeah. And I would go watch the JV girls play before the varsity girls play. The JV girls, the score was 11-5. The whole game.
Got it.
The whole game, 11-5. Yeah. And now to see, when you think about the growth thereof, the game, when the girls were barely scoring 11 points, 11-5 was the whole score of the game, to what you are watching now, it's amazing. We see girls dunk basketballs. We see they're doing everything. This, shooting the basketball like this, this is Steph Curry-like. So it was apropos that you said Steph Curry. Because I started thinking about, you remember when they used to tell us how to shoot those jumpers. Everybody grew up learning how to shoot. Keep your elbows out, arms right here, put it and shoot it. You got to see it and go. And then somebody named Steph Curry came along and said, I won't be able to get the ball off if I do all of those steps and change the game. And now they're barely touching that ball, and that ball is going, and it's going in. And she is doing the same thing. what Steph Curry did for the NBA, because all kids now, the game is played outside in. It used to be played inside out. Big man kick back out. We'll take those jumpers, but they're the last option. They're not the first option. We're working the ball down in the paint. Mm-hmm. Now, with these kinds of shooters, we're building offenses outside in because of, man, it's an incredible, that's an incredible accomplishment. To see her shoot like that. She stepped across the line and just let that ball fly. It really is. It's incredible to watch. She's growing the game. The most beautiful thing out of it all, you talked about it, those stadiums are packed.
Packed everywhere she goes.
They're packed.
Sold out.
It's sold out. You know the WNBA is saying, come on, baby. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Even though she still has 1 year of eligibility left at Iowa, if she so chose.
Yeah, and doing well because they got the NIL money going
over there.
Yes, she's on commercials. But I see guys like Patrick Mahomes and Steph Curry tweet about her accomplishments. And that's apropos because those are generational players.
They are.
And she's a generational player, Skip. Yeah. There's no getting around it. What she is a generational player. And I love how you can see the love of the game. You remember how Brett Favre played football? That's how I see her.
That's good. That's
basketball.
A good analogy.
You know what
Agreed.
I mean? Right, right. It's, you love it. You love watching her play. You can see all the work she's put in. And wherever she grew up, somewhere just shooting at that little barn basket. But she was hitting him. It was an incredible thing to watch and just to see the growth of the game. And she's a big part of that.
So to your first point about you'd see the JV girls and it'd be 11-5. So I grew up in the state of Oklahoma in a time when they still forced women's basketball players to play half court, where you had 3-on-3 half court,
right,
and then you
switched
to defense on the other side and played three other girls half court. It was like prehistoric to me.
Right.
That's no more. But this is revolutionary because for those who don't quite get it, remember the logo she's shooting from is the men's logo. She's still, it's not a women's arena. No, it's where everybody plays, right? Mm-hmm. So the logo is still the Steph logo, the Dame logo, the anybody's logo. She shot it from the logo. And as you well know, she called it. And she told her teammates that there's only one way I'm going to do this with a logo three. It's a pull up where she did a little quick crossover and she's got a hand in her face. The defender stayed right with her and put the hand up because they knew what was coming. And she bombs it home from the logo. It takes rare strength. Steph has rare strength to get the ball that far. It's just hard to jump and shoot that ball that far. Mm-hmm. So here she is, and she still has a lot of games left to go this year, not to mention the postseason games. She does have the year if she did choose to come back. And by the way, I just saw the list come out for the men's college football NIL rankings. And our man, Deion's son, Shadur, is still at the top at 4.2 million, I believe it was, which is quite a bit more. It's almost double what Travis and Arch Manning make, Texas, and Travis Hunter, obviously, at Colorado. But my point is, Caitlin Clark is a thing now. She can generate a lot of bucks. So it's possible. It is possible that they could generate enough NIL money for one more year where she could be weighing WNBA money versus, right. We talked about this, that it's got this way in college men's football that, wait a second, maybe I should just stay here because I can make more here than I can make in my first year in the NFL. So right. I would say there's still a chance. And last night, the crowd's chanting, one more year, one more
right.
year. Why
right.
wouldn't they? You know?
Right, and to see just the impact that she has on it. I mean, that was, it really was. It was beautiful to see. Now, I did wonder when I heard all the one more year, like, when you're this kind of an athlete, like you remember, like Steph talked about getting his game ready for the NBA. When you're this kind of an athlete, all you did was think about challenging the best, you know, challenging the
best.
That's
a good point.
But we see what she means to that place, that city, that team, that school, and I think that can be enough to pull her back, but somebody like that, trust me, In her head, she's thinking, I want to challenge the best and see how my game measures
right.
up. That's how you get that great.
So why is Steph Curry, I'm pretty sure you could argue this, but I think he's the most popular player in the NBA. I know LeBron's up there,
right.
but Steph is more relatable because he's more regular sized. He is 6 feet, 3 inches tall. And if he walked in here, you and I would think he was tall. What do you go, 6'1"?
I'm about
6'3". 6'2". Are you 6'3"? Okay, I was thinking you're 6'2". Yeah, right.
Right. So that's what.
Okay.
6'3" to me is nothing.
Okay.
To be playing with them trees.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's why he gets
But kids can relate to Steph because he, on the court compared to the trees, he looks normal. Right. He looks like a regular sized human being.
Right.
And yet he's doing that to them.
And his spirit reads great. His spirit reads like he's the nicest dude in the world.
It does. It's a good way to say it. His spirit reads great.
It's just the nicest dude in the world. And he gets out there and he's an assassin.
And he's an assassin.
He's an assassin. And Caitlin has that in
her. That's what Dame was talking about.
She has that exactly.
So she is 6 feet tall, which is not short, but it's just medium sized. There are a lot of girls who are playing at 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", now. And yet you can relate to her because she gets to where she's unguardable. She's hard to guard because, as Steph keeps pointing out, it's hard to keep your balance when you are creating threes by yourself.
Right.
She's not doing the...
Like
Steph runs circles around everybody, as Reggie Miller used to do. But now Steph can also create on his own. But she often creates on her own with a step back that is just flat out lethal. And we saw James Harden start to perfect it. And
the master, Steph, is trying to tell us that's a little more difficult
it's just
than
more
coming
difficult.
Off the pick.
No,
shoot.
She's not a catch and shoot shooter,
even though
they do that occasionally.
Right,
but mostly,
she's
just wheeling and dealing. and once she gets you a little off balance to keep her balance, she's going to step back and launch. And that shot has only come into existence over the last, I don't know, 5 odd years, where all of a sudden it almost looks like a travel to me, but it's not. And she obviously watched a lot of men's basketball, and she said, well, wait a second, I can do that. And once you've got that in your repertoire, you're unguardable, because she's also rare this way. She's got that Tom Brady, Larry Bird thing going where end to end, she's not the most athletic. She's not a speed demon end to end. She's not the fastest with the ball in her hand like we see others, you know, who are just blazing fast with the basketball.
Levels, angles.
Okay. She is first step quickness.
Right.
I saw it in Bird. I saw it in Steve Nash. Brady had some of that going on where there's just that little bit of first step, first flash quickness that translates into success, where we've been talking about Tom Brady all week, if you put him at the combine, he can't win the combine.
Right.
You know, he can't do a lot of athletic things. He can't run fast for 40 yards, but he does have a certain foot quickness in the pocket that can create space in a throwing lane. She does too. And if we could see, I think we have her shots last night. I wanted to show you.
Certain athletes have that.
Yeah.
The Patrick Mahomes has
it. He does.
Just that little stuff right in there.
Her buckets last night. You mentioned the first one. So she wheels and spins. That's the first two-pointer. She needed 8.
What?
So there's just, that was more catch and shoot 3. Is it just like, what? She just pulls up and launches. That's a long way. That's a long shot. And now she's off to the races, and that's off the glass.
I mean.
And look out. If you give her an inch, she'll take a mile on that 3. Look, that's ridiculous. That is step length. And there's the step back after a little bump.
You think about that.
There you go. And she can play a little bit of defense. And listen.
But if you let her on the left side, that's her spot there.
Yeah. Okay. She fooled them that time. This is some rare shooting ability. Okay. And if you overguard her to play her
great
deep
shot. Understanding of the game.
Yeah.
Great understanding of the game. Knows how to back door.
Yep. This is Luka-like.
That's a good, that's another
stop
good
and go, one. Stop and go, different rhythm. If you give her just a little quick touch, look out below.
Well, I, yeah.
Career 49. And yet, Michael,
now.
we're talking about, I'm not saying that she's a LeBron-esque generational passer, but she's a very good passer. It's hard, as I mentioned as we opened the show, she had 13 assists among her 49 points. It's hard mentally. Who am I? Am I a scorer or a passer? Well, she's both, and she can regulate that. She is feeling the game to where her teammates feel completely involved, because you better be ready, because right. You're going to get hit in the face with the basketball if you're not ready. So to get 13 assists while you're having your career high 49 points is about as impressive as you can get from a team point of view.
Right. That's interesting that you see that there's still places she can grow in.
Definitely.
The passing game.
Yes.
And the understanding of the game. I think a lot of that she will explore more at the next level mm-hmm. than she needs to right here, because she's so dominant right now. I mean, last night she looked like she could score whenever she wants.
I agree.
She made up her mind that I'm going to get this record early. That's why she took the first layup, then came back with that first three, and then said, logo, I'm going to get this out the way and add on to it and do what I need to do. At the next level, I think it'll be a little bit more difficult
because
they're going to be challenging her, too, now. You're coming in, and every arena she walks in, she's going to bring a fan base that a lot of them have been waiting on and working for quite a while.
Yeah.
So I can't, I think she'll meet some real good challenges there when she moves on that next level.
Yep.
And then maybe think about, I'll develop that even more, because now I'm forced to at this level. But at college level, she gonna do what she wants to do when she wants to do it.
Which is why when she got to the national championship game last year against Angel Reese and LSU,
That's why.
The ratings went through the roof. They just shattered the all-time rating record for that game. And obviously Angel got the best of her in several ways.
Right.
And yet,
but nice of Angel right there to drop that out.
She did.
What she was saying right here is, listen, this is bigger than both of us. It's certainly bigger than anything we got.
It is.
We're doing this for all the people, all the young ladies that have played before us, that started the foundation, and all the young ladies that are coming after us.
Yeah.
It's our time to carry it, and they are carrying it well. And that's what we're talking about. We're starting the show talking about this, We're starting the show talking about it. We got another conversation about shooting three. So it's a
We got the other one coming up, because on Saturday evening, Steph and Sabrina are going to go at it. And Sabrina is a 45% three-point shooter in the WNBA, and she won their three-point shooting contest with a record number of points that eclipsed Steph's record in the three-point contest. So that's also revolutionary, and I give her a good shot of beating Steph. We're going to go back and forth about that a little bit.
I can't wait to talk about that. But still, do you think Caitlin Clark will ever be in that three-point shooting contest at the NBA All-Star Game that's going on this weekend?
You better believe
it. I can't wait to see that, buddy. I can't wait to see that match with her and Sabrina. We go through it. Yeah.
I would love to see her on Saturday night be able to participate as a three-way with Steph, Sabrina, and her going at it.
Right now. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right now. That would be, if they threw her in, that would be incredible.
Okay. So there are two other unofficial women's record. There's the Lynette Woodard record, because it was pre-NCAA sanctioning and governing women's college basketball. She could pass both of those and could further legitimize her place in history. And then there's the men's record that sits out there, the college men's record, and that's by my favorite player when I was growing up, Pistol Pete Maravich. She is called Ponytail Pete, because she's got some of that going on. Now, he's a little before your time. I don't know
I know Pistol Pete, Pistol Pete was the master, man. He was the early master dribbling that ball everywhere. That one-hand dribble, too, though, that old one. Remember the more?
He did drills with it.
That one-hand dribble.
He was unbelievably gifted for his time. Now, he was about 6'5", but he's shooting those jump shots pre-three-point line, so he's shooting two-point jumpers. He got away with it in college because his father was his coach at LSU. So he had the biggest green light, and yet his record is sitting out there, and because she's got enough games left this year, I believe if she'll stay, she's scoring 32 a game, she's going to eclipse the men's record. And there have been others who've made runs at it, and it's been offensive to me because I was such a big Pistol fan, but I would not be offended if she broke it again, it's women's to men, but still, right. I would love that. And I think that's coming down the pike pretty soon. I think she's on pace to do that.
And you know, it's, when I think about it, that is, you know, even staying the extra year and just obliterating and getting all the records she can get, that helps the game.
It does.
Helps promote and push the game. So yeah, maybe that is the route she go. But either way, man, I can't wait to see her, because I can't wait to see her against the best in the world. When I'm seeing what she does right here in college, so I can't wait to see her against the best in the world.
So you would love to see her go on to the WNBA immediately.
Oh. But as I said, I understand. Every time she steps on the floor in Iowa, you're going to get that kind of call. Every time she's on TV and Fox, we're going to get those kind of ratings.
We just saw games on Fox where she was at Maryland, then at Penn State,
right.
And it's just like hanging from the rafters.
Right. And at the college level, and you just mentioned it. Now you're making the kind of money that I'm not forced to go. I can wait. But either way, we have a gift in watching her.
We have a gift. It's a privilege. No, I agree. And because all those people who tweeted about her, she is resonating.
Yeah. Yes, moving the needle.
She is cutting through, moving that needle.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, Michael Irvin, I'm going to put you on the spot as we put this NFL season to bed and look to next year. Next season, how far will our Dallas Cowboys go?
Now, when you ask me right now, Skip, I know I said now that everybody's out, I'm feeling better, I'm doing better, my emotions are in a better place, so I can deal with it now, because we're all at 0-0 again. So it's okay. But I haven't changed my mind one bit on what I said previously. Like what I've seen over the last 3 years, you didn't make a change at coach. So right now, my hope is nowhere. It's exactly where it was last year, the year before that, when you had 12 wins and didn't do much into the playoffs. What I do need, we talked about free agency, is for you to give me a little hope through what's about to start transpiring. I personally would like a game changer on offense and a game changer somewhere in the front seven on defense.
If you ask me
what we need to go into this season with, and that would give me hope of something better than a 12-win season and pain in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You give me a great offense. You give me an offensive game changer and a defensive game changer. I would also like one that has and maybe one that hasn't. Maybe one that has the hunger of not winning a Super Bowl. Mm. Like a Derrick Henry who wants to prove something to everybody. I just want to bring the big fella in and say, big fella, see ye this way. Put a star on the side of your helmet and remind people of the star that you once were. Mm. They said you can't do it anymore in Tennessee.
But
in Dallas, we will give you a stage and a light that shines brighter than anything Tennessee ever seen. And you can get Tennessee back. That's what we going to do, Key. Mm-hmm. That's what we selling, Key. That's what we going to sell. Now, and then we're going to ask them, we can't give you a whole lot of money. Can you work with us?
And that's exactly why you're not the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a lot of things.
The Kansas City Chiefs can go to him and say.
Yeah, but.
The Kansas City damn Chiefs can go to him.
For
the Kansas City Chiefs.
Nobody's going to say Derrick.
I'll say it again. the Kansas City Chiefs can go to him and say, you can play with Patrick Mahomes, and we need a back like this to go with Pacheco. Right now, we're financially strapped. We need you to just do. The Kansas City Chiefs can do that.
Right, but
the Dallas Cowboys cannot.
But
the Baltimore Ravens may be able to do that.
But
the Dallas Cowboys cannot.
But
the San Francisco 49ers may be able to do that. The Dallas Cowboys cannot, Michael.
But now, I give you what you just said, however you just said. But the Dallas Cowboys can put them in lights that no other team cannot. Whatever the cannots you were just doing. And I'm just saying, Derrick Henry, don't listen to this here. You come on over there, boy, and you'll be the cause of the championship, not just a piece of the championship. That's what I'm saying for Derrick Henry. Now, I would also like maybe a guy that has done it. If I can't, you know, I would also like a guy that has done it just to show them the way. So I if I look down this little free agency list, and my wish list on a free agency list is to get another big receiver like Mike Evans. They got Mike Evans.
Well, you just said, make up your mind, man. You just said you want somebody that hadn't won a championship.
I gave you Derrick Henry.
Now, you're doing too much.
I said I almost I want somebody to show you how to win a championship.
Mike Evans done won already. And he ain't going over there for peanuts either.
Well, man, come on.
You can't keep trying to
count all our money, man. Why does he keep counting our money? Why, like, we got peanuts. I want to understand. Hey, Jerry know how to work the cap. He knows what he's doing. He got to figure this out. We have to go get some more players. Come on, man. Stop counting our money.
I agree.
The man asked me who I wanted, what I got. I'm telling you what gives me hope. And you go give me Mike Evans and a Derrick Henry. I need some real players that'll make a difference in crucial moments. Get me a defensive end.
So here's what I was say.
And yeah, we're going to have to work around some money.
Your question, I think, Skip, was how far will they go?
Right,
Jerry would say, they're going as far as Dak Prescott takes them with that new $400 million contract you're about to get. Because he ain't giving you no discount, so you might as well forget that. Okay? But what they do need to do is figure out how to get the right players in free agency and whatever you can get in the draft to plug whatever little bit of holes that you may have. Which Derrick Henry is one. I don't mind Tony Pollard, but I need a change of pace guy in Derrick Henry.
I agree.
When I get inside the 10-yard line,
I agree.
I need to give him the football three times.
Yeah.
I cash it in. Okay? Don't mind that. There's an opportunity, potentially, with the Buffalo Bills and Brandon Bean, the general manager. His brother plays, and Stephon Diggs' his brother plays there with the Cowboys. Let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't seem like a happy situation in Buffalo.
It does
Let's
not.
Figure out. If we could massage that to a degree, okay? Now let's find somebody on the defensive side of the ball via the draft or free agency in the middle, somewhere in that middle right there. You talk about we can't stop the run, you can't stop the run. It ain't all on Dan Quinn.
Okay, they just spent their first-round draft pick on that guy,
but did not. But it may not be a first-rounder. You may get a third-rounder that should be a first rounder, but happens to be a third rounder.
Yeah.
That turns into
Jerry
something.
Jerry looks for those guys.
That
guys
turns into something. Everybody skipped. Everybody that goes in the first round isn't always what you think they're going to be because they got a first round grade. Right. So you look for something there. Now you start to build a unit that gets you back to the same position that you was in this year, which is fighting for the division number one. Mm-hmm. Got to fight for the division. All that we going to be in New Orleans crap that y'all be talking about, y'all was going to be in Vegas. Yeah, Michael was in Vegas. No question about that.
So was I.
And so were you.
And
but you were not walking around with Dallas Cowboy gear on.
No, we're not.
So, you know, I think they're going to be pretty much the same as they were. You know, it can't be any worse. How could you be any worse? Because if you're any worse, somebody's going to get fired.
Hope so.
What you looking at me and smiling for?
I ain't thinking about you. Skip, go ahead, Skip. I ain't listening to this joke over here. No.
I gave you a plan.
Skip, man, this joke.
What's wrong with my plan?
We can pay for Stephon Diggs, but not Mike Evans. I mean,
different type of receiver. You got one dude that's long in the tooth. You got another dude that's just that helps balance out CeeDee Lamb. Now, if you want to go and get Mike Evans, go right ahead if Tampa Bay is stupid enough to let him go. Why would you let him go? And you're going to sign Baker Mayfield. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I agree with that. I don't think they're going to let him out of town.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Baker is Baker because of dudes like that.
And Keyshawn, his teeth didn't look very long to me last year. Mike Evans.
No,
but you got a longer runway. You probably got a longer runway with Diggs.
You would. I agree with the compliment to CeeDee.
And his brother's there, the compliment. I just think he fits.
Brother, yeah, let's be real now. The better compliment to CeeDee would be Mike Evans. Because Dak needs the big receiver, the space receiver. He doesn't have a space receiver.
But that dude plays big,
CeeDee plays inside and outside. And it's a lot of duplication with CeeDee and Stephon.
No, Stephon played for small receiver. He played big.
Right, I'll take them both. But there's a lot of duplications with
that. And you like Mike Evans probably more because he.
I want the diversity. I want the big guy in the inside quick guy like the Diggs. I like CeeDee.
Mm. Oh, well, go ahead and take all three of them. Get all three of them.
That would be great. That would be great too if that could happen. I would love that.
So sometimes Michael Irvin sounds like Michael Jones, as in Son of Jerry, making sales pitches to Derrick Henry. Like, wear that star on the side of your helmet, but you got to take a little discount to wear it, right?
Let me ask you a question.
If you was on the field, that's a different story. That means you win a championship.
Let me ask you a question. It's simple. How many conversations we had about Derrick Henry up here this year? Not many.
No, we did before the trade deadline.
Not many, if any. Now, if Derrick Henry was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, how often you think we would be talking about
Derrick
Henry?
What does that mean if you're not winning?
Well, even if you'll still be talking about him. That's what I'm saying. What do you mean, what does it mean?
You're going to be talking about how bad they just lost the Cleveland Browns or something.
Right, but you're going to be talking about him. And Derrick Henry don't
see. I don't want you to be talking about me if I ain't winning.
Keith, you trying to bring it back to winning. Hear me with the ears. That's the apparatus God gave us to hear with. It was the ears. You're hearing with your mouth. That's waiting to talk. That's not hearing me with the ears. Hear me with your ears, man. Hear me with your ears. You're trying to sit here and argue that playing for the Cowboys don't bring more attention on you.
I'm not saying that, Michael. I played for the damn Cowboys. Don't you think I know?
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Derrick Henry can get them back. Derrick Henry hadn't gotten the love that he deserves. Come on over. Put that star on your helmet, buddy, and let us show you what kind of love. Let Derrick Henry almost get 2,000 yards for the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, I tell
that
you
ain't
what,
gonna happen.
Boy, you can almost
you ain't gonna let him get 2,000 yards because you got a quarterback you're getting ready to give $400 million to. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting ready to give a quarterback $400 million, you ain't gonna have a running back rush for 2,000 damn yards. Mm. Come on, Michael.
Why won't you?
Because you're not going to give him the opportunity with the touches. They're not going to all of a sudden become Nebraska of 1979.
God almighty, man. Derrick Henry doesn't need a million touches. We don't need him to have a million
you
touches.
You just said 2,000 yards.
Listen what I'm saying, Skip. Skip, I can't talk to him. He got his emotions in a bad place.
I don't
place.
Have no emotions. I'm trying to educate
about,
you.
He feels bad about any hope that the Cowboy fan base brings out.
Yeah.
Now, everybody, I just said I'm at peace now because everybody's at 0-0. What does that mean? Everybody hope meter is at a good place. I just told you where
everybody,
my hope meter.
First of all.
I'm talking about everybody in the NFL.
First of all, everybody ain't at zero.
Everybody's at 0-0.
They're not. The 49ers are plus 500. The Chiefs are plus 650. The Ravens are plus 9. Y'all are plus 1,500. Mm. Everybody ain't at zero. Mm. They already got people in front of y'all. Just want you to know. I'll show you that right there.
I'm talking about records, man. You're talking about gambling, man. Come on, Skip.
I'm talking about going to the Super Bowl.
You can't mess with
this. For a guy that had three Super Bowls, Skip, I don't know how you just don't see winning is important.
Winning is important. Mm. That's a hell of a statement. Mm. Go ahead, Skip. I can't say anything else to it. We're trying to argue that Derrick Henry
would not
benefit
from
wearing a star on the side of his helmet. That's the thing that made you go in. Now, all this other stuff you just came up with, but we cannot argue the benefit of wearing that star.
No one said that. You almost made me call you boy. Michael, you still eating off the star. And you ain't played in 20 years. I get all of that.
Right.
But when you are a free agent that has not won a Super Bowl, okay, or yet even played in one, you are seeking teams that can get there. Don't tell me the Dallas Cowboys, because they had Derrick Henry, all of a sudden become Super Bowl favorites.
No.
No. Who's going to remember? Who's going to remember that Juju Smith-Schuster won a Super Bowl?
But the Juju Smith-Schuster.
Let me finish. Let me finish. I sat here quietly. I sat here quietly. No, yes, I did. I waited. Who's going to remember that Juju Smith? Nobody. Because you were a part of something that Kansas City was doing.
You ain't sat here quietly in 4 months, Michael.
So you came and helped. If Derrick Henry goes there, nobody's going to remember. You were a part of what Kansas City was doing, and you just got added to it. You didn't do anything to build it. You didn't do anything to sustain it. You dipped your toe in it. That's it. If you go to Dallas, it's something different. And don't tell me our history don't matter. Derrick Henry history matters. He wants to be remembered a certain way. He wants to be remembered as one of the greatest, and he'll get an opportunity if he goes to Dallas. That's all I'm saying. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Michael Irvin, you look at this completely differently than I do, even though we both love this franchise.
Yeah.
You were part of three championships. You were a driving force of three championships.
Now get on, man. Get on.
All I've done is been lifelong diehard, but I am dying hard right now because you said we're back. Our hopes are starting to rise. You mentioned everybody's at zero. I'm still, my emotions are at ground zero right now because I have not gotten over what happened against the youngest team in the NFL that came in as a 7 seed and for the first time in the history of the playoffs beat a 2 seed and had us down 27-0 before halftime, had us down 48-13 early in the fourth quarter in a home playoff game with the 2 seed with a chance to beat Green Bay and Detroit to get back to San Francisco, where, silly me, I thought we'd actually have a chance, third time's the playoff charm at San Francisco. But no, 27-0 happened, and I am still rocked by it. I am devastated. I am emotionally ripped to pieces over what I saw because nothing changed. The coach is still the coach.
Right.
And I don't hate him. I just don't love him. And the great Winston Churchill said once upon a time, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat history. And it feels like we didn't learn anything from history. We're just going right back to the same drawing board. And yet and still, we're going to have to pay the quarterback so we can pay the other players because you're going to have to repay him to get the cap down just enough that you can take care of CeeDee Lamb and you can take care of Micah Parsons. And those are big taking care of. Those are big, bad deals that are going to limit what you can do with the rest of your cap money and free agency. So difference makers, game changers on offense and defense are going to be hard to come by in the situation in which we find ourselves. And to Keyshawn's point, a defensive game changer, it was supposed to be Mozzie Smith. Maybe the second year will be the charm for him and he'll figure it out.
It could be.
But I saw next to nothing.
Maybe it's Mike Zimmer.
Maybe it is Mike Zimmer.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Okay.
Maybe
you could be right.
Right. Maybe it's
okay.
Right.
And I will give you this. I love Tony Pollard, but I did not see enough this year because you know what? He did get hip drop tackled at San Francisco. And you know what?
He had some flashes this year.
It threatened his career because he, Keyshawn, I know his game. He wasn't quite what he was the year before because it's a.
But he doesn't have to be a $15 million running back.
No, okay. But would Derrick Henry help as a thunder and lightning?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
You better
but that whole notion of come here for free.
No, he's
nobody
not
doing that.
Okay.
Ain't nobody said
it. You said it.
You were giving Jerry's speech to him.
I said he would have to work with us on the money, but I didn't say free. That's hyperbole. Free. Free's crazy. So stop saying that. And what I said also was, he will be recognized more for helping the Cowboys get over the hump than just being a part
no
of
doubt.
Whatever the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. They just took you in as a piece.
I can't
Derrick
listen to
Henry,
you,
I got to imagine that matters to Derrick.
I can't listen to you. It ain't just taking him in. I mentioned Kansas City because they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
It may not be Kansas City.
Right.
It
Whatever.
May be Baltimore. It may be another team that need a big pounding back. Okay, that is right there. On the edge. The Dallas Cowboys ain't on the edge.
You know my problem, Hakee? I don't have an issue with admitting what you say if it's true. But I got an issue with why you won't admit what I'm saying is true. We talk about the Cowboys more than anybody. Derrick Henry would benefit greatly if he had to start on the side of something. Now, that's just reality.
No one said that he wouldn't. Michael, he is going to benefit for that. But you're asking a man to come in to a team.
For free.
To a team that hasn't won anything in 30 years.
30 years.
For less money than what could be on the open market with teams that have won.
There's your hyperbole again. They have won something. They won. They're one of the only teams that won at least 12 games over the last 3 years. They've gotten in the playoffs. Now, what the Cowboys are trying to do is get to the next level.
I just got to turn my back on you.
I understand you turn your back. You can turn your back, but I'm trying to turn your head into some knowledge. I'm trying to crack it and give you something.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, it would be different. And you're just letting your anger against the Cowboys stop your eyes from seeing it.
Okay.
It would be different.
All right.
It's not even a conversation so easy.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to give you some hope that I have, this one shred of hope. We haven't talked about this, but I think the Philadelphia Eagles are a mess. That's what I think. I think they have internal issues.
They got to figure it out.
Okay, they got lots of things going on there, that deep things that they got to figure out.
Right.
The Giants still don't threaten me. Washington will start to grow because I like the new owner and I like the new brain trust that they have, but it's not going to be next year.
So if the Giants let Saquon Barkley walk, do you go get him versus Derrick Henry?
I'm not that biggest Saquon guy.
No.
Okay,
no.
I just asked a question.
Okay, but the point is...
You need the hammer.
Here's the point about the NFC East. It's possible... It might be likely that we win it by default again next year. We just might be the best team of the bad things that are going on around the division.
Skip, we're second seed, Skip. Okay. So it ain't just that we won the division. You were number two seed in the conference.
We were.
So all of this, that like we are in some hell hole purgatory place and got the worst team. It's just not right. It's not real, and it's not true. We were the second seed. So telling Derrick Henry or anybody else, he got no chance of winning anything in Dallas. They were the second
Okay, so,
seed.
Michael, That's if all. We have a home playoff game next year, are we going to win that playoff game?
Yeah, we got Derrick Henry.
So we it's all about hammer. Derrick Henry?
We got a hammer. We need a hammer. And a
Charles, the second seed, huh, Michael?
A hammer that will garner respect and bring people up on that line of scrimmage no matter what. Then you'll get opportunities to throw the ball.
We were the second seed. Yeah. We were the second seed. And we went home in the first game.
Mm. Yeah, that's why we need a hammer.
All right, in a moment, we're going to talk about this because I still believe Joe Burrow is a little better than Patrick Mahomes. We debate that next.
Don't you, Skip, you spending too much time with this joke.
I know.
This joke right here, he's just...
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me, that's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Back down. Here's Joe Burrow on how disappointing it was. He tore a tendon in his wrist just as the Bengals had caught fire, won 4 in a row. including the clinic he put on at San Francisco and the 10 touchdown passes to just two interceptions he threw over that four-game stretch. Burrow said, "I was confident in the direction we were going. We were getting better every week, and so it came at a tough time, but it's given me an opportunity to get back, to get all focused on my training, get all parts of my body to where they need to be. And so when the wrist is right, my body will be in tip-top shape. So I'm excited to get back out there and go on this run next year." The Bengals are tied for sixth in next year's Super Bowl odds. I think they're tied with the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. But to me, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are fortunate that Burrow got hurt. He's 3-1 against Mahomes, including an AFC Championship game win at Arrowhead and a narrow loss at Arrowhead in championship game when a dumb Bengals penalty set up the Chiefs for a walk-off 45-yard field goal. For me, when it comes to Burrow versus Mahomes, I use the Michael Irvin Memorial Eye Gate Theory. Michael says his eye gates tell him Mahomes is already better than Tom Brady. My eye gates have told me all along that Burrow is a little better than Mahomes, that Burrow is the closest thing to Brady that we now have in the NFL. Michael, would you please respond?
Listen, I'm not going for this, guys. This is, especially after what we just saw out of Patrick Mahomes, the old banana in the tailpipe. There is no way we are saying here that anybody, and certainly Joe Burrow, and I love Joe Burrow, and he's been great, is better than Patrick Mahomes. That's not what we're saying.
Well, I mean, you've got Patrick Mahomes as the greatest ever.
Right. I got him right now, physically, the most physically gifted quarterback we've ever seen play this game. Now, will his talent get to a place that we can make him the GOAT? And I believe that his talent, that means number of Super Bowls, number of MVPs, that they will get up there. But to say right now that Joe Burrow, because he's 3-1 against Patrick Mahomes, is better than Patrick Mahomes when Patrick Mahomes has three of them things on his finger now.
Want to ask you a question.
What's that?
Who was your toughest opponent that you played against when you was, like, who did y'all lose to a lot? Washington, maybe? Philly?
I lost a lot. You put a lot on there. We lost.
Yeah, not a lot, but you know what I mean? Right, we could go 3-1 against a team over the course of one's career. Would it be Washington? Would it be Philadelphia?
Early on, Philadelphia.
And their quarterback, might have been Randall Cunningham.
It was Randall Cunningham.
And I like Randall Cunningham. But Randall Cunningham, he's not better than Troy Aikman, but go ahead. Just go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, but go ahead. I just wanted to skip 3-1 because you lose to somebody a lot.
Right.
He ain't nowhere in the world he better than Troy Aikman.
Right.
I like Randall.
Right. I take that, and I concur with that when we look at this assessment.
Yes.
We start talking about these two. I love what Joe Burrow has done. I mean, he's been incredible. He's been incredible. And he has made the right plays to beat Patrick Mahomes. And he's so cool, and he gives you the confidence. And it's unlike what you think about Kirk Cousins, because he really does lift his team.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
He lifts his squad up.
Oh, no, yeah, they like him.
He goes in, and he is. He is the moxie of that team.
Yeah, I don't need
Super Bowl window is open as long as I'm on the football field. When he's not on the football field, it's not open. And he was right about that, a different team without him. But, yeah, I love all of that Joe Burrow has. But you just saw it. You got a fresh look at his at Patrick Mahomes' greatness. In the year that Patrick Mahomes has done something else that he has never done, when we question if he even had the ability to do it. Second time without Tyreek Hill, but also can you go on the road and get it done? All of that.
That Skip would say, preach.
He keeps saying, I confirm every box he checks and says he confirmed. And now we want to say, Joe Burrow, no. Patrick Mahomes is the baddest man on the planet.
Skip, let me ask you a question.
Keyshawn,
what would make you believe that Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes? Is it just simply because he beat him three times?
I saw it with my eye gates four times. I saw four games, and he was right there to beat him the last time. And that kid, Joseph Asai, remember the out-of-bounds penalty on Patrick Mahomes on third and four, and it gave him 15 yards, which set up a 45-yard walk-off. It was a battle to the bitter end. Right. One dumb penalty cost Joe Burrow that game. He was in position to potentially go 4-0 against Patrick Mahomes in two championship games at Arrowhead.
You do understand there's such a thing as a player beating a team that they just match up well against, good, and they they just know them.
By the way, to your question to him, nobody had their number. Nobody.
Well, yeah, they lost to some teams.
No, but when they were babies, they were losing to Reggie White.
I understand. Yeah, I get it. But my whole point was, when you're talking about 3-1, it doesn't mean anything, Skip. Because in the end, one guy is there all the time for his team.
Yeah.
Another guy isn't. Okay.
I can't defend that. He has not stayed healthy.
Yep. Getting hurt is part of the game. Mm-hmm. I understand that. One guy has two regular season MVPs, three Super Bowl wins, and three MVPs in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
One guy has one Pro Bowl and one comeback player of the year.
Yep.
You know which guy that is?
Mm-hmm.
That's Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's not even get into being able to perform at the highest level when it counts the most.
Yep.
Don't tell me if Aaron Donald didn't get to him in the Super Bowl, he could have hit Jamar Chase.
Mm.
Oh, or T. Higgins. Oh, or Tyler Boyd. Oh, or turn around and give it to Joe Mixon. Mm. He's had those same cast of characters his entire playing career in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not MVS one day and Juju Smith-Schuster another.
Right.
And Travis Kelce every
Kelce
day.
And okay, that's one guy.
He's the guy.
That's one guy.
He took over the Super Bowl.
One versus four doesn't seem like that outweighs it. I don't give a damn how good you are.
Mm.
But when you got T. Higgins, you got Tyler Boyd, you got Jamar Chase, you got Joe Mixon.
You do.
And you can sprinkle in a tight end here and there with a solid defense.
They got
They got stuff.
They got talent.
That dude been over there messing around with MVS's, Mecole Hartman's, Rasheed Rice. Oh, I don't have a Tyreek Hill anymore.
Producing the same thing.
Oh, wait a second. By the end of the year, Kansas City had the best defense in pro football. That's what my eyes told me.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That offense did something to help that defense. That defense did something to help the offense.
Yeah.
He ain't had the same running back from beginning to end in the season since he's been in the league. Joe Burrow's had Joe Mixon the whole time.
He has.
Every year, it's like a new running back for Patrick Mahomes.
I got it. That one he's got now is pretty good.
Nobody's saying Pacheco isn't.
All right. Help me out on this, because Michael said, we just saw it. And here's just what I saw in this Super Bowl last Sunday night. Help me out here. All the way down to overtime. All the way to overtime, I'm looking at the GOAT, Patrick Mahomes. I'm trying to eye gate him. I'm trying to see. What do I see? For four quarters of that game, I saw Patrick Mahomes really struggle. There were long stretches of that game where I said, he just looks flat out lost. They got his number. They are bamboozling him, and he cannot figure them out. And he throws the early third quarter interception. I said, uh-oh, San Francisco's got them, because if they go cash this one, it's going to be 17-3 San Francisco. And I'm just not sure even Patrick Mahomes can pull that rabbit out of his hat. And what happens all the way down through the fourth quarter? What do we come up with? San Francisco gifted him one touchdown off a punt off a foot that gets muffed.
Cost the D coordinator his job.
It did. It cost him his job. Other than that cheap little touchdown, because they weren't ready for the first play. He gets him on the first throw. It's 16 yards to MVS, and the defense looked like they're all looking at each other like, what were we doing? Well, they weren't ready because it was quick turnaround. It was, as you know,
sudden change.
You got to fly back out there and figure this out. And it came at a shocking moment in the game that they weren't emotionally ready for. And then down the stretch, we go all the way to overtime, and all Patrick Mahomes has is four field goals. He finally gets one at the end. He gets four field goals and a cheap touchdown. That's all he gets. He gets 19 total points, and it cost Steve Wilkes his job. And I'm like, really? Okay, in overtime, I will give you that last drive. That was masterpiece theater, man. That
you
was,
said you wanted to see it.
Okay.
You said you wanted to see him do that in the Super Bowl. He did.
No, well,
he gave you 300 yards. You claim he never threw 300.
Well, he didn't give me 300 in regulation.
Now it's regulation.
He just moved
a goalpost.
You got an extra stanza. You got an extra stanza. Okay, you have 291. So look at body of work. I look at the first Super Bowl. We have late third quarter interception, early fourth quarter interception. You are cooked. You're down 20-10, and Jimmy Garoppolo fell apart
right before your very eyes. That's not his fault.
Okay. Then he goes up against Tom Brady. They're head-to-head. So we don't have a Jordan and LeBron debate here because they never played each other. I got to see Brady beat him at Arrowhead, and then I really got to see Brady beat him in a Super Bowl because Patrick stunk in that game. He said, wasn't protected.
Does Brady beat him if Frank Clark doesn't put his hand in a toe on the line?
That was the makeshift offensive line.
Yeah, man.
Makeshift offensive line.
Brady converted three straight third and tens in overtime. I've never seen anything like that in my life. In my life, I haven't seen anything like that.
Stop, Skip, man.
Okay, then against Philadelphia, that defense, I kept telling you, it's so torchable in the Super Bowl a year ago. He threw for a grand total of 182.
He won the Super Bowl.
He needed Jalen Hurts to just spill the football right out of his hand. Just spill it. He spilled it all over the field.
But that's not fair. Because what you just said, I can apply that to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Neil O'Donnell. Don't start laughing.
That's a mismatch.
Because you can't do that to Jalen Hurts. Because Neil O'Donnell threw two picks to Larry Brown to help the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. So stop.
Okay, remember, Patrick Mahomes threw a grand total of 182. Well, he threw for under 200 yards and won the Super Bowl because Kadarius Toney had a 65-yard punt return in the middle of the fourth quarter.
And Joe Burrow threw for 400 yards and lost the Super Bowl.
Okay. He was really good in that Super Bowl.
But he lost.
Well, because Matt Stafford was out of his mind.
Matt Stafford is out of his mind, but Joe Burrow couldn't lift his team to win victory.
Know. I'm just telling you what my eye gate tells me. I'll take Joe Burrow over Patrick
Mahomes. You'd be the only fool doing such a thing.
He won all three
Super Bowls. Cincinnati Bengals wouldn't take Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes, and they just paid Joe Burrow the money.
I don't think that's
true. Oh, God, stop.
Both of them are great quarterbacks. But what Patrick Mahomes has shown is he is. Mm. He's
yes, they are both great, but Skip is over here trying to tell us Joe Burrow's better.
Right, and it comes down to last minute plays. Nobody better than Patrick Mahomes. No mercy, no mercy, no mercy.